Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast. UK, UK Tech Weekly Podcast. UK Tech Podcast. UK Tech Podcast. UK Tech, we need to get through this. UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Hello, and a warm welcome to this surprisingly jaunty episode of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's least fact-checked weekly tech podcast, trumpeted into your ears once a week like a clever elephant. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is an infotainment karate chop delivered by the editors of PC Advisor, Tech World, Macworld UK, and Computer World UK. Every Friday, we are marched off to an audio prisoner of war camp, digging audio tunnels, dumping audio soil, and jumping motorbikes over barbed audio wire in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Please don't forget to subscribe, review, and tell your friends. I'm David Price, acting editor of Macworld UK, and today I'm delighted to be joined by three of the finest chatters in the land. Straight talking Charlotte G, hello. Editor of Tech World. Don't know yet.
Sorry, I jumped the gun there. Hello, good morning.
For goodness sake. Cleverer than Stephen Hawking, Tamlyn McGee, online editor at Computer World and Tech World.
Hi.
That would have worked better if you'd heard the straight talking straight away before and you trampled all over it, Charlotte.
Yeah, sorry.
And please stop squawking, Henry Burrell, staff writer on PC Advisor and Macworld.
Hello.
Highly professional. This week we are talking football, politics and space. We have liftoff. Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a FIFA that's so hard to bear. Henry Burrell, you give me FIFA. But when will I get it? And why should I care?
Well, you can get it today as we record. It has been out one day as you listener. FIFA 17 is out this week for PS4 and Xbox One.
Amazing.
And as every year, this is a big deal, apparently. but the reason I kind of want to talk about it is just to talk about, in particular, games that have little incremental releases and new updates and things like that and why people get so excited about them.
And then well, before we move on to that...
Oh, yes.
Should we just quickly cover the basics of FIFA?
Oh, no, I was going to. Don't worry. So the whole new thing about this FIFA compared to previous, many, many previous games, is there's a brand new mode called the Journey mode,
right,
which is EA Sports' attempt to make the game even more relatable and sort of build yourself a character. So usually on FIFA, you can go in, as you well know, and just play matches of football until...
It sounds clever. They should work on that.
But they do like a career mode, which is normally just create your own team. You can sort of rise up through the leagues, try and win Champions League, FA Cup, whatever you want, really.
So normally you're the manager?
Yeah, and sort of quite removed. It's a little bit, you sort of just basically pick the team and play endless games and never sleep. But in the new FIFA 17, there's something called the Journey mode, where they've been... I think it's quite cool. It's quite a bold move. They've just said you have to be this one character, who's this young chap called Alex Hunter. And then I'm not entirely sure if you can do championship teams, but I think you can pick him to be in any Premier League team. And then he's actually like a character who takes you through cutscenes and different stages of his development. Like he starts out in the youth academy. And you have to break your way into the first team. You have to have interviews after matches and things like that. And a little bit like Football Manager, whatever answer you pick, it affects the outcome of your progress through the club.
But surely the whole point of post-match interviews is to say absolutely nothing at all.
Well, that's what most modern footballers would do, but I just hope there's like a maybe like, you know, like on I think it looked a little bit like on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. You got four different answers,
and like one of them is obviously.
One of them
stupid.
Is obviously. Yeah, one of them is obviously.
I hate all my teammates.
Yeah. If you say that, you're not going to get in the team. But I mean, I do admit I've yet to play this game. We're going to try and review it on PC Advisor. But I'll be interested to see if that actually makes a big difference. And it got me to thinking about. I mean, I think it's justifiable that you can bring out a game every single year and charge a fan base, I think so, for £40-50 if
they're charging,
love...
So they're charging for a full game every year.
Yeah.
And based on what you've said, not a whole lot has changed.
No, this is the thing. Itself... So if we're being a little bit more pessimistic about it, no, it's exactly the same, really the same game as it's been out for the last 3 or 4 years. I'm sure many listeners who know better than me will disagree. But then I kind of thought
Our colleagues was saying that the engine, they've tweaked the way that it plays.
Yeah, they've got there's some funny marketing material with Harry Kane wearing looks what like a big neck brace, but they've got like done special effects for the most famous players, so like the graphics are ridiculously good actually. Mm. And you can sort of have interaction with famous players as you like are this character who moves through the ranks as it were.
I heard that there's no such thing as Iceland.
Oh, really?
In the game, anyway.
Just not in general.
Not in general. Because I don't know if it's true that they never had Iceland, but Iceland did well. I don't know a lot about football, but I'm looking around. I think Iceland did quite well in some kind of a tournament recently.
They knocked England out of the Euros,
Well, I mean, that doesn't really mean they did well. It just means England did exceptionally badly.
But I think after they did that, EA came in with a derisory cash offer for Iceland's team to appear in the game, and they said, "Can we have more money than that?" And they said, "Not really." So there was no such thing as Iceland in FIFA 17, as I understand it. I don't know if they've done. Remember games in the olden days? They used to have the team would be called something like Coldland or something.
Well, yeah, I was going to say. Me and Tam were talking yesterday about how we used to play Pro Evo.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Younger,
and they didn't have any licensing, so it was just like the Manchester Reds.
Yeah, Alan Bearer.
Yeah, yeah.
Should not be missing out on the lucrative and massive Icelandic market, alienating that fan base.
Yeah, but presumably, I mean, they've become a viral sensation, haven't they? Mm. So
yeah, but I like the fact they've just put two things up. To FIFA.
Well, I'm not.
That's
why I don't know how the negotiations went.
I'm going to say that's how
it's possible that their two fingers was just them saying, please, more money.
Yeah. It's quite a small nation. I remember a great anecdote. I think this is one of the footballers in the Iceland team when he was at the Euros. He was saying that Iceland is so small that, and so many of the nation actually went to watch, that he would just be on the pitch and look in the crowd. And he wouldn't know the person, but he'd recognise them just because he sees them all the time in Iceland.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Well, it's just like a town, isn't it, basically?
It's probably quite an ignorant thing for us to say, but it does sound like it. But I mean, on the point of FIFA, I wanted to know what you guys thought, because even though I do play FIFA and I do love FIFA, every year when the new one comes out, I think, ugh, £45 again, but we end up doing it. But
There's a whole raft of games that are based on this business model, mostly sport games.
Yeah.
John Madden always used to be the classic, the American football franchise, where it would just be every year, they'd update the names, they'd hardly change the game.
I was kind of thinking, go on.
I feel like there's a kind of parallel to be had with the film industry, because it's an economic model that plays it safe, right?
Yeah.
All the Marvel films are essentially the same thing. People still watch them and they're still fun. Mm. But there's a very safe tendency to just veer towards rehashing and remakes and prequels and so on.
I mean, are they just updating? Okay, so I don't play FIFA. I live in a house where FIFA is played a lot, so I'm sort of vaguely aware of it. Are they just updating it to take account of the changes in the Premier League in the last year?
So, yeah, I think when a new FIFA comes out, the leagues will be set as the current teams.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just to keep it up to date.
But then throughout that season, you have like downloadable content. So like if a player gets injured or something, you can stay true to real life. They'll like take him out of the team.
So maybe is that a motivating factor for people, do you reckon? Just that they want it to reflect what is actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, technically, I mean, I was the parallel I kind of drew in my head a little bit, slightly tenuous, was phone releases every year. Mm. You don't really need to get the new one, but... Mm. If you do, there will be reasons why it's been improved, and marketing will claim that it is a better experience, and then you need to buy it. But it's just funny that I thought I kind of balk at paying £45 every year, but there are millions of people out there who will just
Yeah.
Get the new
iPhone. If you get hours of fun out of it, I guess, you know. Yeah. I mean, it could be.
But you would have also got those hours of fun out of FIFA 16, surely.
Yeah, that's true.
We got a bit spoiled, I suppose. It's the way we want things to be absolutely perfect. Yeah. On the phone front, we've kind of got to a point where the tech industry has to keep moving forward or it dies. It cannot. You had the mobile phone, the rise of the mobile phone, and they sold mobile phones to people, and they were, for a while, it was boomtown, and all these, you know, phone shops were, you know, rising up everywhere. And then suddenly, most people had a phone. And then they all started going out of business because it's just, well, there's nobody left to sell phones to. Mm-hmm. So then they had to create this rolling model where, even though we all have phones, and the phones work great, and we don't really need new phones, then they've had to try and, oh, here's the new thing.
I was thinking about this, and I was thinking that I used to be quite pessimistic about things like software updates for phones. My iPad's quite old, so I don't really want to update it to the new iOS, because I've always been a bit like, well, they're probably just doing that to, you know, a couple of generations will no longer work properly, so it's going to encourage me to buy a new product.
But security,
I know. But no, but now what I was going to say, now I'm thinking, like, the fact that the iPhone 7's great, but it's not really that different. Yeah. I'm not going to say I feel sorry for a company like Apple, but but really, I think now when they update these things, they're generally like, this is actually better, guys. But like you say, David,
they've got nothing, you can't really add anything.
But how much better? I mean, it's like, fundamentally, here are apps, you can use them. There is a camera, it's okay. I mean, like, you know, a lot of it is kind of, and environmentally, it's pretty bad. Just putting out there.
Just going back to games again.
which we were discussing, controversial.
I think it's interesting compared to the PC market, because oftentimes you'll get a game that's not like FIFA, like Skyrim or something, whereby the fans improve it and improve the textures and update it. And it's possible, like, it shows that it's doable to have an updated game that's kind of managed by the fans. Yeah. But when you play it on consoles, you have to kind of rely on EA Games or EA Sports to release it every year.
Yeah. Well, the paid-for model, because the rise of mobile, again, it's got this parallel thing of updates to apps that are free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is something that's very powerful, is that you buy a piece of software and then you enter into a contract with the company that they will support that piece of software without charging you any more money for sort of the lifetime of your device or whatever, or until something else comes along that's better. But you don't get anything like that with FIFA. You really kind of feel like FIFA, it could be just an update where they could just put out a patch.
Yeah, but it's
that
FIFA.
Has all the updated names.
I mean, we are talking about FIFA. Yeah. Like, this is the thing. Well, we get a bit divorced from like how an awful an organisation they are. It's kind of inevitable that they would be sort of not necessarily the most benign and, you know, uncapitalist organisation.
Are you saying that the game named after FIFA is representative of the political organisation FIFA?
Well, I don't know.
Because this might be true. I mean,
I don't know. Football's not exactly... Not. I mean, football's not exactly a kind of, you know, lovely sport. I mean, look at Sam, you know.
Who would have thought Big Sam Allardyce would be a dodgy geezer?
Yeah, I know. Who knew? Yeah, but the whole thing... But the entire industry is pretty much a bit corrupt and driven entirely by financial.
I'm sure there are good apples in the barrel, if that's
good apples in
the barrel. No, I'm sure there are. but the barrel itself looks a bit rotten, put it that way.
I think the barrel is sort of systemically rotten.
Wait, what is the barrel at this point?
The football industry is football. Okay. Governance.
Yeah.
The barrel of football governance.
There we go.
That could be the title of the podcast. We got away from the game a little bit, but we can still go around the room and I can ask you each, you give me FIFA or FIFA, that's so hard to bear. It's a bit tenuous. Tamlyn McGee.
I'll have to go with the first one purely because it's a better pun. But my heart lies elsewhere.
It's kind of the same pun, to be fair. But by the way, Tamlyn, you had a PS4 shipped out to you at great expense yesterday.
It was very exciting.
Will FIFA be one of the first games you download?
No, it won't.
Right. Even though you said, you give me FIFA.
But I just liked the phrase, you give me FIFA. It works better.
All right. Oh, and by the way, I think there's one feature that's exclusive to Xbox that you won't get, which is... Old players.
Old players.
Legend players. You know, like George Best and
George
stuff.
George Best on FIFA.
So you don't get that. Mm. But anyway,
in his prime, presumably.
Yeah. No, I think
even
I think,
the latter years.
Dead
on Parkinson.
Yeah, drinking white wine spritzers. Yeah. Henry Burrell.
You give me FIFA, yeah, I'll play it.
Excellent. And Charlotte G.
FIFA, that's so hard to bear because it's always been played in my house and I can't watch the TV.
I'm very sorry to hear that. well, we'll have a little break now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Mr. Donald Trump. Welcome back. Tamlyn McGee, I want to talk about politics with you. I haven't got a song for this bit. Mm-hmm. I was trying to work out a way to sing House of Pain's Jump Around with Trump around, but it didn't really work. So we're just going to start talking.
You can try if you want.
No.
Well,
it's worth a shot.
Well,
surely.
No, it doesn't, because you need to have the backing
we could do it.
Beat. Go on then.
No.
let's talk about American politics, Tamlyn. But to keep it techie, the politics of Silicon Valley and the tech of politics. Mm-hmm. What's going on in America right now, politically?
Well, specifically, to provide the context first, both Hillary and Trump in this sort of clown parade of an election...
That's a strong start.
Have been sort of grasping with the internet and trying to make the best of social media and memes and so on and so forth. Just to provide a bit more context, a meme, if you're not aware, are those images that are of viral images with words on the top and bottom, and they're supposed to go viral.
Can you give us an example of a meme?
Yes. So there's one that came from the notorious image board 4chan called Pepe the Frog. And he's a little green...
He sounds jolly and lighthearted.
No, he's
no,
not.
No, he's not.
Oh, he's not at all. He's a depressed-looking green little guy. And he's been classed by the Hillary campaign as a figure of hate speech, which is interesting development. On the other hand, we've got something called the alt-right, which is kind of the re-emergence of right-wing politics in the US. Figures like Milo, formerly of, gosh, what was his?
Breitbart?
Mm, Breitbart he's on there now. At the moment, yeah.
Oh, he had the Colonel, didn't
the
he?
Colonel, yeah, the Colonel, yeah. The Colonel. He's kind
the
of the
K-E-R, not yeah. like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. He's kind of the leading figure of the alt-right, and there's a load of people who like to spread really quite noxious images through, you know, otherwise harmless means, like pictures of sad frogs. And so the founder of Oculus Rift, which is now a Facebook company, Palmer Luckey, it just emerged that he has been secretly funding a pro-Donald Trump meme page.
Why would he do that?
Well, presumably he likes something about Donald Trump, but I've got his opening statement when it was anonymous here. He said, going under the username Nimble Rich Man,
that's so annoying. Isn't
it? I know, and it's kind of just it just speaks
in the company called Nimble something.
Yeah. But it's the rich man part just speaks so much more. What's exactly wrong with the way of thinking in Silicon Valley and how it sort of intersects with politics? But he said, I reached out to the leaders of this community, being a forum on Reddit called The Donald, because I'm doing everything I can to make America great again. I have already donated significant funds to Nimble America, the group that's been spreading these Donald Trump memes, and will continue to do so. I need your help. For the next 48 hours, I will match your donations dollar for dollar. Donate $10 and I will match you by flying my jet a minute less. And it just kind of goes on this way as well.
God, that's...
And these memes that they then posted, these are all anti-Hillary. Mm. Hillary's going to take our guns. There's hacked emails. What that sort of thing?
There's that element to it. I think the phrase sort of goes like Donald Trump, not necessarily a racist campaign, but number one with racist. So there's an element of these people who are sharing like deeply, deeply noxious stuff, and trying to kind of normalize it with these otherwise harmless images that they put like horrible messages onto. But there's been a backlash. So the gaming community has come out against the Oculus Rift founder, Palmer Luckey.
That's interesting.
And it's forced him to backtrack a little bit.
So some of the VR developers have said that they're no longer going to develop games for Oculus.
Yeah, that's right.
And in response to that, Palmer Luckey has, I'm not going to say backed down, but he's sort of apologised, isn't he? He hasn't exactly had the courage of his conviction.
No, he said something along the lines of... I've got it somewhere here. But he said something along the lines of, like...
Tamlyn is researching in real time.
He's essentially said he's sorry if he's offended anyone. It's that classic
one. Oh, he's one of those. Yeah. It's one of those.
But you know, the whole purpose was to offend large groups of people, evidently.
Yeah. Well, so the interesting thing here is that Parmalucky has he sort of burned his career a little bit here. I think that's what I sense is that a lot of the tech industry has hit back at him. Mm. But he's by no means the first, he won't be the last, clueless tech billionaire to jump on the libertarian right-wing side of politics. And there's this real contrast between the way we view Silicon Valley as this optimistic, utopian place. And in California, in San Francisco, it should be liberal. That's what you'd think. But it's not. You keep getting these billionaires that chime in, think they know best, and they're always on the sort of Donald Trump side.
Well, I don't know. Like even well, evidently like well intentioned ultra rich people, like the Iron Man imitating Elon Musk.
But on whom more later. To follow? Sorry to interrupt. I just want to do a little trail like they do on Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmare. Coming up next on Ramsay's Tech Podcast.
But even his sort of utopian projects are you know, not going to be cheap for people. So,
yeah,
you know. Peter Thiel, I think, is a really great example who is literally researching vampirism, human vampirism.
when Charlotte mentioned that yesterday about blood, I must say, I thought you were joking.
No, that's literally true. Like, Peter Thiel actually is using, like, sort of putting young people's blood into himself because he believes that it will make him live longer.
That's
true.
You couldn't make it up, could you?
That is true.
So this is Peter Thiel, founder of PayPal. Mm-hmm. Is that right? With Elon Musk, actually. Mm-hmm. Have I got that right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Peter Thiel has a long history. I was looking
being a bellend.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But also of backing failed Republican candidates in the presidential election. Yeah. He supported McCain and Palin, that famous, I mean, I quite like John McCain, but I mean, Sarah Palin, absolute wackadoo candidate. He decided to jump on her train, so to speak. And he supported Mitt Romney 4 years ago. Yes, and now he's on...
Well, we want him on Donald's side then, don't we?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if he's backing losers, then yeah.
He could be on none from three.
It's the lesser of two evils.
Okay, fingers crossed.
Yeah. But yeah, he's now firmly hitched his wagon to Donald Trump, and the circus continues. And it doesn't even stop there. You know, you've got the Uber chief executive, Travis Kalanick, who has repeatedly said that he's inspired by Ayn Rand.
A lot of them say that. They love her.
Reference these days.
Yeah,
it's Atlas Shrugged, isn't it? Yeah, the whole principle of which is just the principal aim in life should be selfish to one's own desires,
yeah,
and screw the rest. And if these sort of captains of industry go away, you know, the people who have all the money but don't necessarily do much of the work, then the world would just fall to bits. But, you know, if we didn't have Peter Thiel researching human vampirism and Oracle's Larry Ellison, like, owning a populated island, then, you know, I'm not too sure the world would collapse or would be necessarily for the worse.
Be okay.
But it certainly speaks to the amount of power and influence that these people in tech have.
Yeah. It's the particularly, and I suppose you could say that it, why are we expecting billionaires not to be self-centered jackasses? But the reason, from my point of view, that it's particularly galling in tech is that, and I'm going to say something semi-controversial here, there's no such thing as a self-made billionaire, in my view. Not in a literal sense, because there's always you look at the story and there's always some degree of
rich luck, uncle
of help, rich uncle along the way. But it's particularly true in tech, and tech developments are always built on what's gone before.
Yeah,
I was thinking about this, and if you went back 1,000 years and you tried to explain Uber to somebody, to who was around 1,000 years ago, Henry?
William the Conqueror. I don't know, the Normans?
Yeah, go on.
Nearly the Normans.
So you meet a Norman and you say...
Saxons.
You meet a Saxon and you say, here's what Uber is. They'll be impressed, sure, but they're going to go, wow, so you talk on metal phones. You talk on metal bits of... you talk on bits of metal to other people a long way away. That's amazing. And you go, oh, I didn't invent that bit. And then they go, oh, well, so you connect all these bits of metal via phone lines. That's amazing. Oh, I didn't invent that bit. Oh, well, so you've got a gig-based economy. Oh, everything is on demand. No, I didn't invent that bit. I just made it for taxis. Mm. And people like this Uber guy, he thinks he invented Uber, but he just put his little bit of magic on the top. And everything that goes before it was invented by other people. His entire shtick is building on an existing community. And of course, particularly because it's tech, then they're all college educated. They've all come through a very privileged upbringing.
Mm. I'd like to say something about Bill Gates quickly as well, because he's generally really well regarded for his philanthropy and such. But even the things that seem positive on the surface, like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation starting schools in Uganda and stuff, unions have just come out in Uganda completely against it because they're all failing. Same in Seattle, where the teachers are about to wage a strike against these privatized schools, essentially.
Right.
It's all ideologically based from people like Bill Gates, who think they've got all this money, they can change the world for the better. But what if they're wrong? They're doing it anyway, you know?
Like Mark Zuckerberg came out last week with his wife and they want to cure all diseases in our children's lifetime.
And they're going to do
pretty
that.
Bold.
Yeah, they do love a grand sweeping gesture, don't they?
They're going to cure all disease with a donation of $3 billion. So I don't want to downplay that. But that donation is equal to a tenth of the National Institute of Health's annual research budget.
Mm.
So they think they can come along with this, what is essentially monkey peanuts. And they're going to solve all diseases. Because of this really sort of arrogant sense of tech optimism that we can fix anything, that the market will fix everything, which is in itself quite Randian.
It's naive as well, because like technology is ultimately a tool, right?
Yeah,
it's a apolitical thing, and the question is who's using it and for what? And there's always going to be an ideological purpose behind it.
Mm.
And it happens to be that there's these very naive, ultra-rich people who are, even with the best intentions, because no one wants to think of themselves as a villain, are actually wreaking havoc.
Mm. Mm.
Do you think even the people who are practicing vampirism don't think they're villains?
I don't think Peter Thiel thinks
he's got too much free time these days.
Well, after shutting down Gawker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that in itself is very Ayn Rand, the waging a war against the media.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that the whole thing is that journalism is essentially a corrupt industry. Obviously, we're a little bit biased on that one, but, you know, there is possibly the political purpose of the media speaking truth to power and so on, which bringing us back to Donald Trump. Donald Trump wants to change the libel law so that the media can be sued more easily. I'm feeling a bit sad now.
A bit glum.
Who would have thought these young, naive billionaires would turn out to be?
Who would have suspected
less than perfect people?
I know. Gosh.
Well, I mean, there is that messiah complex side of it
that
you get with somebody like Zuckerberg or Bill Gates.
They're all men.
Yeah, so all right. Tell me about female billionaires, Charlotte.
Well, there aren't very many of them. I mean,
that's bad. I don't like that.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I'm against that.
I'm trying to think. I think the richest woman in the world is the L'Oreal heiress, Lillian Bettencourt. I mean, there aren't very many. There isn't really a female equivalent of Mark Zuckerberg.
There's Xiao Wang, who owns HTC Corporation.
True.
In Taiwan.
Yeah, well, actually, it's weird because, like, it's a slightly different story when you start looking at Asia and China in particular. There are more female billionaires over there.
In the US.
But in the West. I
don't know if she's I'm fairly sure she's not a billionaire, but Melissa Meyer would be the most obvious equivalent of...
But I'm talking about people who founded sort of a company rather than just tech CEOs. So I don't know. I don't know why that is. Just thought I'd point it out.
So if they were in that position, would they give all their money away?
I don't know.
Or would they have some
this
Marie
comes back
Antoinette
to the old, are women innately better people than men? I don't really know.
I think they are, definitely.
Okay, well, that's nice. Thank you.
Am I about to drop an Emma Goldman quote in a tech podcast?
Yeah, go on, do
it. I don't think I am, because I can't remember it. Hey. But if you Google something Emma Goldman, I'm sure you'll find it.
Okay, I'm going to do that straight away after.
What sort of a quote is it going to be? This is so... You're such a tease. It was going to be something incredibly witty.
It was
an apposite.
It was essentially completely in favour of universal suffrage and equal rights between genders and recognising that women are systematically oppressed, but also that the innate view that women would be running the world differently is kind of absurd as well.
Yeah.
But then... You know, who am I?
We are yet to have a podcast with a female host.
True. Don't look at me. See, this is a problem.
Is that because
you'd
make them sing?
I don't want
to. And they don't want to.
Yeah.
I think that the host gets to do what they like.
Yeah.
I think the host could make everybody else. I can make you sing.
Well, maybe...
I could give you my blood.
Are you saying he's old?
A bit sinister.
Implying.
I think we should wrap it up there. So I'm going to go around the room. The question is, billionaire shortbread or billionaire fruitcake? I'm quite pleased with that.
That's good. Fruitcake.
Fruitcake.
Billionaire fruitcake.
Yeah, definitely. It's got to be fruitcake.
Hooray, everyone agrees. We'll be back after a short break to talk about space. Charlotte G, I understand that you are super pumped to talk about Musk's massive munition. What's the main message?
Okay, so yesterday Elon Musk stood up at the International Astronautical Congress.
Astronautical?
Yes, that is a word, don't doubt me. And he talked about SpaceX and his plan to make human life multiplanetary by building a self-sustaining 1 million-person civilization on Mars. He says that the first people carrying missions to Mars are going to be taking place in January 2025. That's the plan. That's 8 years
away.
That's
quite a long way away.
Well, not that far.
Yeah, wasn't he saying 2022 you could have people to
Mars? But in terms of the... Yeah, I mean, to be honest, the deadline is slightly... I mean,
why is there a deadline?
I'll tell you why. Actually, there is a reason why these dates kind of vary.
Okay.
And that's because... if you're traveling from Earth to Mars, you have a 26-month opportunity. It comes around every 26 months, the planets.
The rendezvous.
Yeah, the rendezvous. Okay. So basically that's
when they're closest.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's quite an interesting idea, whether or not it's a good idea. I mean, the idea is making space travel radically cheaper. So it kind of currently costs...
Cheaper than it currently is.
Yes. Well,
how much does it currently cost?
It's about $10 billion a person. And Elon Musk reckons that he can bring that down to $100,000 per ticket to go to Mars.
I still wouldn't be able to afford that.
Yeah, I did like...
You say that, but actually, if you really think about it,
still can't.
If you sold absolutely everything,
I'm not in that.
No, I know, that's ridiculous. But if you know what I mean,
just for a trip to space.
Yeah, but I mean, if you... a lot of people, if you think about people, I don't know, that have a house or whatever. If they sold that, they might be able to afford it.
A house, but I think it's owned by the bank.
Okay. I mean, what I'm saying is that probably is more... Obviously, that is an extremely large amount of money, but it's radically more affordable than
$10 billion.
Than $10 billion.
So you could sell all your stuff have no money when you arrive on Mars and just be a surf.
Yeah, but maybe. We don't know what the kind of civilization is going to
be. The first homeless
what
person
will the
on
currency
Mars.
Be? Exactly.
What's the welfare system like on Mars? Is there a
I don't
social
know. Underdeveloped. I mean, this is the thing, I guess. I mean, yes, you could sell everything and go to Mars. I think this is kind of what he's implying, but I mean, who really wants to do that? It's a bit risky.
Okay, well, let's go back to the basics. And why do we need to go to Mars?
Because basically his idea is that it's essentially not a very good idea to have all our eggs in one basket. If some kind of huge disastrous event happened to Earth, that would wipe out all of human civilization. So the idea is that by doing that, we can secure the future of our species.
So if you're on Mars as part of this million person economy,
which isn't going to exist until 75, he said.
Okay, so in the meantime,
in terms of the million,
let's say 10 years from now, you're part of what is going to be a landing party of 300 people, and then the extinction event happens, and all the rest of humanity is wiped out.
Yes,
you're going to be fine and dandy at that point.
Well, that's the idea. The idea is that once you have a certain number, you sort of reach a self-sustaining point where that civilization can just sustain itself. I mean, it depends. The thing that he's saying is going to happen, by the way, in 6 years is, I think, the first cargo missions. But the first human missions, in theory, are 2025. I mean, the idea is that they are able to, you know, grow plants. They're able to build a sort of self-sustaining colony. So if something awful happened on Earth, they would be okay because they don't need the shipments that they had previously. I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty mad idea, in fairness.
It does sound fairly mad.
Yeah. But it's potentially doable.
That's what mad people always say.
No, I know.
There's no air on Mars, right? So how are they going to get around that?
Okay, I had some interesting data on this, which I haven't brought with me.
best kind of data.
There's
anecdata.
I think there's something like a third of the oxygen on Earth. I mean, yeah, you'd have to build kind of pods and stuff.
Just breathe three times as much.
I think there was some idea about kind of if you were able to produce enough vegetation, potentially you could create.
So if everyone takes a house plant with them.
Yeah, if everyone brings along a pot plant, it'll be fine. I think that was mooted as an idea. I don't really know. I'm going to leave that.
Why has space travel become the prerogative of like wacky millionaires? Why aren't NASA doing it anymore?
NASA got no money.
Yeah. They've been systematically kind of defunded since the space race. I mean, they haven't really had
essentially since they stopped being a Cold War.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Need another one of those.
Yeah, let's ramp up the pressure. Yeah, I was going to say, let's see if Trump gets elected. He's good friends with Russia, isn't he?
Because I don't know whether to like. There's something about Elon Musk that I kind of abhor, but also, I mean, like he's got he's Tesla, PayPal,
yes.
SpaceX.
Yes.
I kind of admire in a way how he's bringing this.
I admire how single-minded he is.
Yeah, and like you say, like he's sort of thinking about end of days extinction and how to better it. So. I don't know, there's just something about it that he kind of seems to throw everything at a wall and sees what sticks.
I think the thing I find most depressing is that he's essentially saying that he's given up on Earth. And I find that really kind of sad.
I think it was announced earlier this week that we've passed the window of being able to go back on carbon overload.
Oh, right, well, maybe he's right then.
Parts per million, the dreaded.
Well, maybe he's right then. Maybe we are all completely.
We should probably give up on it. In the long term, you know.
Damned.
I totally get what you're saying, though, because like, it's frustrating that people are saying, oh, yeah, let's go colonize space. It's like, mate, things are disastrous here on Earth. Yeah. Why don't we fix some of this first?
Yeah.
Like, you know, really work on carbon emissions and make Earth livable.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
go
if,
and get a new planet.
If he was like, focusing his technology on like combating climate change, because there might be some kind of technology solution. I don't know. People were sort of talking about firing stuff into the atmosphere. I don't know.
You do seem a little bit vague on the details.
Yeah.
Of how to fix
that. Yeah, I'm not sure. But, you know, I'm going to leave that to the experts.
If only Mark Zuckerberg would donate a derisory amount of money to fix the climate change.
Yeah, I know.
It will be fixed in no time.
But, yeah, I mean, maybe if we focus our ambitions on that, then maybe that would be better.
But isn't Musk developing, like, some wacky tube? Like human tube.
There's the Hyperloop system. Yeah.
That's probably going to pump out some sort of dreadful emissions.
Probably, yes. He's probably making it worse.
Well, maybe it'll mean be
maybe,
less,
maybe
less
he's
car.
Doing that deliberately to make everyone go to Mars. He's just sort of, you know, basically ruining it down here. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about Richard Branson for a moment, and I very rarely say that. we've kind of heard all this before. Virgin Galactic Was supposed to get a maiden flight into space with passengers on board by 2009. Quick update for listeners, it's a little bit later than 2009. And there have been no Virgin Galactic manned space flights. I think a lot of people are going to be cynical about this and say, is this really going to happen?
Yeah, that's quite different though, because I mean, Branson's talking about doing kind of just a suborbital flight where you kind of go a bit above the atmosphere and have a look and go, well, that's very nice, and then come back down. Yeah. Whereas Elon Musk's ambitions are quite different. I mean, the thing.
So Elon Musk is more ambitious.
He's way more ambitious.
I mean, Branson didn't achieve his extremely limited ambitions.
No,
and
true.
Yet we're supposed to.
Although
think.
He hasn't pumped anywhere near the amount of money into the project as Musk has.
He has got an impressive beard, though.
Yeah. It is also, by the way, space is really, really hard. Like, it's really, really quite difficult to engineer these things.
He could work on making his trains a bit nicer.
He could, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe that's
if you had your way, Tamlin, nobody would work on any space stuff. We'd all be fixing problems on Earth.
Yeah,
God.
Sounds great.
Maybe Branson's busy finding CCTV images of Jeremy Corbyn. That's distracted him from his galactic
He fell off a bike the other day, as well,
didn't
he?
Did he?
Aww. Yeah, smashed his face up.
He's always sort of doing risky things, isn't he? He did that parachute.
What, riding a bike.
Yeah, but I mean, how was he riding it? I don't know.
It is risky.
Yeah, was he doing a handstand while he was doing it? Probably. Yeah.
We should, we've not got very much long left, but we should probably cover a few more quick details about this. Who is going to be allowed to go? Is there going to be any vetting?
Anyone that can buy a ticket is what Musk has said. Anyone that can afford. Basically, there's a sort
just
of Venn diagram that's people that can afford to go to Mars and people that want to go to Mars, and it's people that are in the middle of that Venn diagram that are going
to
be.
That's excellent. So they will be completely untrained astronauts.
Yeah, I mean, it is massively just people that can afford to go.
Is it a one-way ticket?
That's a good question. I would say I think it is, but I would double check that. I'm pretty sure that when you go that, yeah, you're gone.
Well, on that subject, I was reading that he said that he says, basically, are you prepared to die?
Yes. No, I mean, if that's okay,
you're a candidate for going.
Okay.
Call them all musketeers.
Do you know what? That's interesting. I mean, are they doing psychological, testing of people?
Henry, you need to leave.
Sorry.
That's terrible. Well, so the last thing I thought we could talk about is that space flight has sort of stopped happening, seemingly. We had the first manned aeroplane flight in 1903, and then 66 years later, we were on the moon. I say we. So you have this whole generation that has seen in their lifetimes, we went from we can't fly at all to we've gone to the moon.
Yeah.
And it's been another, 50 years since there, very little has happened. Mm. What's gone wrong with space?
I'm excited by the prospect of, within our lifetimes, space wars. Star Wars, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I mean, I think as we said earlier, I think mainly
the
Cold War.
Carbon emissions out there.
I reckon. Mainly the Cold War is what I think.
The two words I was thinking of when I was reading about this were vanity and publicity.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah. I think overexposure of these kind of projects gives the public more reason to be really pessimistic. So I think back in, well, obviously it wasn't in the 60s, but back then Kennedy was like, man on the moon by the end of the decade. And it actually happened.
Yeah, but that's only because Yuri Gagarin. I mean, that was
space race.
That was in reaction to, obviously, the Soviets kind of doing
so
it.
So what we need is a crazy Russian billionaire
That's perfect. That is clearly what we need.
I'm going to interject and say that rocket technology was built on Nazi technology, so maybe can we just not?
I think that's a perfect place to stop. Cliffhanger of an opinion. And with that, first of all, let's go around quickly. The question is, blast off or naff off? Tanner McGee.
Naff off.
Brilliant. Was that for me or was that an answer?
It was an answer.
Okay. Henry?
Naff off.
And Charlotte?
Clearly blast off.
Oh, good. All right. Well, with that, thank you for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly podcast. Feel free to get in touch and let us know your thoughts and opinions to shake us down for cash, whatever that means. And if you're interested in advertising, you can tweet us on any of these topics using the handle at UK Tech Podcast or email us on editor@idg.co.uk. We'll be back next week with more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. If that sounds like something you'd like, you can find us on Acast, iTunes, SoundCloud, and various other podcast sources. And don't forget to subscribe, comment, like us, and tell your friends. Until then, say goodbye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Napo.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.